take you to the Word and bring you a brief message from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. A couple of verses here that just bear continual repeating. Some verses that bear continual a new look on a regular basis, so that we understand what the will of God for us is. I think oftentimes we give intellectual assent to these things, but they don't really become matters that motivate or sponsor faith for us, because we just kind of accept them, but we do not really take them into our heart. And I'm suggesting that this is a passage that we need to take to heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 23 and 4. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, W-H-wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, in other words, completely or totally. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is Paul asking for here? What is his heart expressing? It's expressing that God, when he saves us and separates us, that's what the word sanctify means. It means to separate us, make us a separate people. Jesus said in his prayer in John 17, Father, sanctify your people. Keep them separated from the world. In other words, make them a distinctive people. And when Paul says, I'm praying that the God of peace will sanctify you or separate you wholly, and then he goes on to explain what he means by holy, completely. Not, I want you just to be saved and have your spirit separated unto God, but I want all of you to be separated unto God, totally, holy. It is in this verse that we see the nature of man described. Hollywood tells us and Nashville tells us that man is body and soul. But animals are body and soul. You know, you understand that animals have souls. Anybody in here have a close pet that they love very much? Why do you love this pet? Just because he's physically beautiful? No, because he has a personality. He remembers things. He can show affection. He can show fear. That's the soul. He can reason. He understands that if he stands next to you and looks at you with big, big, wide eyes and whines a little bit, that you'll give him something to eat. He has a soul. But the difference between he and thee is that when he dies, it's all over. There's no life after death. His life began when he was born, and it ends when he dies. It's over. And that's what many people, many men and women think about themselves. And they have this understanding, body and soul, and say, man is no different than the animals. But man is totally different from the animals, because when God took the same dirt out of which he made your dog and your horse and your cat and your bird or whatever it is that you have as a pet, when he took the same dirt and made you, he did something that he didn't do with the animals. He breathed on him, and he became, according to Genesis 2:7, a living soul. A soul with life. In other words, a personality that would live forever. And the breath that God placed within us, the Bible calls spirit. And so man is three parts, not two. He's body and soul, yes, but if that's all he knows about himself, he's in trouble. Man is actually three parts, and the most important part is the spirit part. Now that's the part of us that is saved when we make Jesus the Lord of your life. Last week we had two young ladies stand here in front of you and invite Jesus to come into their heart, and they were sanctified in spirit. They were born again in the inner man, and their spirit, you see, is separated from the rest of the world and separated unto God. But now God wants them to cooperate with His process of separating their mind and their emotions and their feelings, as well as their physical makeup, to sanctify them unto Him. God is concerned not only with our eternal welfare, He is concerned with our present day, right now, moment to moment welfare. And Paul says, I pray that the very God of peace sanctify you, separate you, take care of you, if I can use that terminology, take care of you totally and completely. In other words, God says, if you are three parts, if you are spirit, soul, and body, and all of these things are important to you, how many people have their body is important to them? Now, if you don't raise your hand, I'm going to call you a liar. Because you all stood in front of the mirror this morning. You combed your hair, you shaved your beard, you did something, didn't you? You care about your body. And if you're not sure about that, just let some little part of your body start hurting. Amen. We care about our physical body. We care about our emotions. We care about our feelings and our ability to reason and think. We care about our mind. God cares about that too. And He wants our bodies to be whole, and He wants our minds to be whole, as well as our spirits to be whole. Now, many people will just read the 23rd verse and say, well, gee, that's really good that Paul prayed that. But what difference is it going to make? I've prayed it too. Notice that Paul says that the spirit, soul, and body are to be preserved how? Without fault, blameless, without any problems. And then the 24th verse is the kicker. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also might occasionally possibly do it. Your Bible say that? What does your Bible say? You know, will is the strongest word in the English language. Will. He will do it. The one who called us will do it. Well, Pastor Vic, is there something I must do? Yes, there is. Well, what is it? Tell me. I'll do it. Yeah. What we are to do is believe it. Just believe it. And again, I must sound like a broken record. But I keep coming back to this. And if I sound like a broken record, please, 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 please don't take this record off your turntable. Because it's that important. How did we get saved? How did we get the Spirit sanctified? We believed it. We believed what He said. And we acted upon it. And what happened? We got our spirit sanctified. How do we get our body sanctified? How do we get our soul sanctified? We believe that this is His will. This is what He wants to do in us. We believe it. We act upon it. We do the things that we know contribute to that. And He does His part and does it. Healing is a part of the covenant we have with God. Peace of mind, a strong, sound mind, not ruled by our emotions, is a part of the covenant that we have with God. Eternal life for the Spirit is a part of the covenant that we have with God. Now, the most important part, of course, is the Spirit part. And notice, Paul puts these three parts of the human nature in correct order with regard to importance. He doesn't say body, soul, and spirit. You know, if you ask, even most Christians, if you say, what are the three parts of the human nature? They'll say body, soul, spirit. Because we are primarily concerned about the body, secondarily concerned about the soul, and tertiarily concerned about the spirit. Whereas God has it quite the other way. He is primarily concerned about the spirit, the heart of man. He is secondarily concerned about the soulish part of man, because those are the two parts that last forever. And he is lastly concerned about the body. Why would he be less concerned about the body than the other two parts? Because the first two parts go on forever. The last part goes into the grave. You only have it for 70 or 80 years or so. And then it turns back to from whence it came. So we ought to be also have that same order in terms of our understanding or our comprehension of what is the mind of God, that he's primarily concerned about the spirit. Now, the two young women that were here on last Sunday, what should they be doing today? They should be doing something to aid in the process of the sanctifying of the soul and the mind and the body. I see Melissa is here today. And what's happening to Melissa today is that her soul is gaining some separation here from the thoughts and so on of the world. Perhaps she's learning some things this morning in what we're saying that she didn't know before. I hope that's the case. But that's the process of getting the soul, getting the mind saved, getting it sanctified, getting it separated, so it doesn't think like the world does anymore. It thinks like the kingdom of God thinks. It thinks like our Heavenly Father thinks. And the same thing true with our body. Why is it that as a Christian, I would suggest to somebody who was smoked that they stop smoking? Is that because no smoker's going to heaven? How many of you believe that smokers cannot go to heaven? Good. See, it's not smokers that don't go to heaven. It's unbelievers in Jesus who don't go to heaven. Smokers go. Now, they may smell awful when they go, but they go. Are you listening? But see, why would I say you shouldn't be smoking? Because it's going to take you to hell? No. You can still go to heaven with a pack of cigarettes in your pocket. Your cigarettes, of course, will be left behind, but, you know, when you leave your body, you might go sooner. That's the point. It's destructive. The Bible says that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God lives in here, and we ought to take good care of it. Do you truly think that God would be more pleased to live in a body that was racked with pain and racked with disease, or would he rather live in a body that was full of health and vitality? How about you? How would you feel? Would you rather live in a house that was painted up nice and spruced up real good, looked real good? Or would you want to live in a house that shutters were falling off and the shingles were blown away and the paint was peeling and the porch had fallen in? I mean, just think about it. I mean, it's a simple concept, isn't it? And doesn't he live in here? It shouldn't surprise us that he's concerned about that and he's interested in that. The thing I know about him is he's able to rehang the shutters. And he's able to rebuild the porch. And he's able to repaint the siding. So what I want us to see today is that in the mind of God, he wants us whole in every aspect of our being, not just the heart. And we did not just get saved, and then we're just going to hang on until we die. That is not the Christian life, and that is not the will of God for us. He wants us to renew the mind. So many scriptures. We don't have time to deal with them today, but Romans 12, James 1, so many scriptures about the importance of having the mind renewed and having it saved, getting it sanctified, separated unto the thinking and the thought processes of God. And the same thing with the body. And perhaps this is just one more nail in the coffin of your sickness. Are you listening? One more nail in the coffin of your confusion or your fear. So take what we've shared today, apply it to your life. It's important, it's true, and it'll bless you if we will just simply walk in it and believe it. In Jesus' name, I commit the word to you. Let's pray. You truly are a fabulous Heavenly Father. There isn't anything about our lives that you have not taken care of, that you have not provided for, that you did not include in the covenant that you made with us, this new covenant that was ratified and sealed by the precious blood of your dear Son. And your Spirit is here in the earth today, as Jesus said, to teach us, to bring to our remembrance all the things which He taught, to comfort us and to guide us, and to lead us into all the truth. As your Spirit ministers to us through the preached word, through the prophesied word, through the shared words of encouragement, exhortation, through the Bible itself as we read it, Lord, those are all ways that your Spirit is moving in our lives to bring us into conformity and harmony so that we might receive all that you have provided for us, that we might walk in physical health and that we might walk in spiritual newness of life. How we praise you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.